Thank you, David. Thank you, Jenna. And thank you, Dawn. We so appreciate you. Well, before I get started, there's a couple of announcements that Reverend Dawn didn't know about. And one is that someone dropped off some books here this morning that are available after service next door, and all they're requesting is that you make some kind of a love offering to the center for them. And so you might want to avail yourself. I have no idea what kind of books they are, but you can check them out. The other thing has to do with this Alaska Grown installation that we're going to be having here on the 3rd. And the only reason I'm bringing this up again is because we'd like to have you sign up. We need you to sign up so that we have an idea of how much food that we need to have. And so there's a sign-up list in the back. And if you would please sign up if you're planning to be there. Those who are making the preparations would really appreciate it. Thank you. So last week I talked about notes from the universe. And so today I have one I want to share with you. And it says, they're writing it to us, and it says, help me out here. Help me with the lingo. Are people just kidding when they refer to the Holy Land, holy words, and holy people as if they were somewhere else? Or do they understand that there is no land holier than that beneath your feet? There are no words mightier than those you choose, and that no one ever has been more divine and revered and deserving of their heart's desires than you are now. I do declare the universe. Now, isn't that a powerful statement? There are no words mightier than the words that we choose. It's really something to think about, and think about how those words that we choose impact our life. And they do. Now, we spend a lot of time doing, don't we? We spend a lot of time doing and not so much time being. We spend a lot of time doing. When was the last time that you stopped and used your imagination? When was the last time you stopped and used your imagination? Probably many of us would say when we were children. And as children, weren't we told, get your head out of the clouds, pay attention, get real, do what you're told. Life is real and you're not going to accomplish anything by those dreams. Weren't we told that? And we sucked it in and we accepted it and we said, okay, and we were programmed. We were told to stop imagining. We were programmed by our teachers and by our parents and by our schools and by our peers and by what we saw on TV to get real. And I'm not exactly sure what that means, but I don't. What is real anyway? But nowhere along the way do I remember ever anyone telling me to focus on my imagination. No one ever told me that I could imagine great things and that I could accomplish them as well. And so as we got older, didn't we shut down our imagination? We just shut it down because we had work to do. We had work to do. Imagining is just for children. We had to get real. And so if someone were to have asked me, what is it that you want to do? What is it that you want to be? I'm afraid my answer would have to have been, I don't know. I never really thought about it. Have you thought about it? What do you want to do? What do you want to be? Well, here's what I did. I went to school, didn't you? Then I went to some more school. And then I went to some more school. And then I got a job. And I worked really hard at that job, even though I hated it, because that's what I was supposed to do. And in my generation, the next thing you did was you went out and you got married and you had kids. And some of us had to try that 3 or 4 times. You know, the first time just didn't really work. But we went and we got this job because we have to work until we retire. And then once we retire, then we can do what it is that we want to do. We can do something fun if we have any energy left to do it after all those years of working, because we just have to. I don't know about you, but when I was doing all that stuff, it never occurred to me that I could do something different. It never occurred to me that I could step away from the norm. It never occurred to me. Someday I could, but not today. Today I had to keep that nose to the grindstone and do what I was supposed to do. Well, I had a friend, and I had a couple of friends, but I had this friend that decided he was going to do what he wanted to do. He quit his job, he moved to India, and he lived in an ashram. And I was jealous. I know that's a sin, you know, sin, an error on my part. But I was really envious that he could go and do what he chose to do. And it never occurred to me that I could do that as well. I knew that someday I could do that when I'm retired and I have no more responsibility. But what he did show me when he did that is that all of us are a choice. We're a choice. My choice to stay and do what I was supposed to do. His choice to follow his heart and go pursue his dream. Some of us put our dreams on hold. And that's our choice. So what I want to suggest to all of you is that you awaken that child within you. Reawaken that child within you. It's kind of gone dormant, hasn't it? Use your imagination. Create your dreams. And what I want to ask you to do is to dream really big. None of these little dreams. You want to dream really big because you want to accomplish and to be something phenomenal, and you already are, and you already are. Think about this, what we are taught is that the subconscious mind does not know the difference between something that's real and something that's imagined. It can't tell the difference. It just knows you're putting this input into it and it's taking it in. And what does it say? It says, yes, yes, I can. Yes, I will. Yes. And if you tell it, I am sick, I am tired, I am sorry, it says, yes, yes, you are. And that's what it brings into our conscious awareness. It is part of the divine creative process. If, on the other hand, you affirm your dreams, if, on the other hand, you set your intentions, if, on the other hand, you create those really, really big dreams, the law of mind says yes, just like it did to the other things, because that's the only thing that it can say. You put it out into the creative process, and the creative process says yes, and it begins to bring into play all of the things that are necessary to bring that into manifestation in your life. It's already done in the eyes and the mind of spirit. It simply has to manifest in your reality, and it begins that process. If, now here's the big if you're not like me, and you don't have that little monkey chattering in the background that says, oh, really, Lindy, you really think you can do that? You know you can't do that. You're not good enough. You're not big enough. You're not wealthy enough. You don't have, you know, and so what's important is that we learn how to turn that off. Turn it off. Because we can create our own reality. Our thoughts are things, and our thoughts create, and it's a law. It's the law. Your thoughts create, and it works. I've seen it work. I know it works. Change your thinking. Change your life. We say that here all the time, and then we think, well, that's easier said. It's simple. It's very simple. It's not very easy many of the time. The first thing we have to do is we have to take ownership. We have to take ownership of our lives. We have to own the things that are happening to us and understand that we participated in the creation of those things. It may not have been a conscious thing, but unconsciously, someone said, and we said yes, and we agreed, and we allowed that to be created in our lives. And what I'm asking you to do now is look at those old tapes that you have in your head, that mother said, that father said, the teacher said, and put them on rewind, because we're going to record over the top of that, and we're going to create something new. We are going to create something new and something better. we are co-creators with the divine. If we don't like what we've created, you're a creator. You get to create something different. You get to create something different. We get to make different choices. In The Science of Mind, on page 157, Ernest Holm tells us, when we use our creative imagination in strong faith, it will create for us out of the one substance whatever we have formed in thought. In this way, man becomes a co-creator with God. There will never be an end to any of the eternal verities like truth, love, and beauty. There will never be an end to God, nor to any of the attributes which are co-eternal and coexistent with God. If you are wise, you will cultivate a faith in this reality. This is not a difficult task, but it is a thrilling experience. So as we're rewinding that tape and we get an opportunity to do things differently, we get to embrace the truth of who we truly are, and we get to know in our heart of hearts what that truly is. And what is that? If we are individualized expressions of God, we are power, we are love, we are strength, we are wisdom, and we are intelligence, and we can co-create with the divine whatever it is we want to have in your life. In the Bible, in Matthew, it says, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. It takes determination. It takes courage. But the outcome is worth it. Think about this. The artist takes a blank canvas and he or she creates on that a painting. And you know, if you don't like what you painted, you kind of go back over it and you create it again. And aren't each one of us artists or sculptors? And don't each one of us have the ability to create? We all get to create in our life what it is that we wish to see. And to step into our magnificence. You are a magnificent being. I challenge you this day, step into your magnificence. Embrace it. Love it. Be it. Believe it. That's the key. We must believe it in order to be it. We have to step into it. There can't be doubt or fear or worry. We must let those go. If my heart is filled with love, there is no room for fear. If my heart is filled with love, there is no room for worry. If I realize that I am an individualized expression of the divine, I know that all things are possible. And it doesn't matter where we are today in this process. It doesn't matter how old I am. It doesn't matter what my financial stability is. It doesn't matter what my health is today. What I am telling you is we have an opportunity to co-create perfection in our lives right here and right now. We are willing to let go of what no longer serves and embrace our divinity. We are at choice. Each and every one of us is at choice. Our destiny, our reason for living, is tied to our dreams and our desires. It is like a seed. The blueprint of the oak tree is contained within the acorn. The blueprint of your life is contained within your thoughts and within your dreams. It's your DNA, if you will. A big dream draws you into it, doesn't it? When you set a goal on something you really, truly wish to accomplish, things just seem to move that way and it draws you in to the expression of it in your life. Think about this. Most children start out with big dreams. They're going to be a movie star or a major baseball player or president of the United States. They're going to compete in the Olympics and win a gold medal. And then people and circumstances kind of squelch that dream and they settle. And as we reach adulthood, we trim down our dreams, don't we? We trim down our dreams to a manageable size, to something that we think we can accomplish. What we forget is there are no large and small in the eyes of God. All things are possible in the eyes of God. There is no large, there is no small, there only is. There only is. What do you really want? What is it that you really want? Now, I'm talking and not talking about material things, because we all know material things come and go. Houses are built, houses are burnt, you know? The floods come, it washes things away. I am not talking about the material things. I am talking about the things that stay permanently with you forever. What is it that you really want? I know what I want to feel. I want to feel love. I want to feel joy, and I want to feel at peace. So I get this new house that I want because, you know, I've done this vision board and I've decided I want this house. But what I really want is someplace where I feel the love, where I feel the peace, where I feel at home. It isn't the physical structure. It's the feeling I get from having whatever that object might be, and still knowing that the object can fleet away. It just can move away. So what do you really want? And not only what does it look like, but what does it feel like to you? Can you believe it? Can you embrace it? In reading the book As a Man Thinketh, James Allen tells us that we should conceive a legitimate purpose in our heart and then set out to achieve it. We have a dream, and when we devote ourselves to that dream, and I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to wander off on various tangents. You know, I'll be headed this way, and I think there's a joke, and it's like frog, they say, because then you move over here, and then you move over there, and then you move over here, and finally something, who knows, causes you to go back and get back on track of what it was you wanted in the first place. But in the meantime, because I've allowed my purpose to wander, it's taking me a little longer to achieve what I think I want. But here's the thing to remember, that strength is gained through practice. If you want to be physically fit, what do? You practice. Every day you practice. You have exercises that you do. You have running that you do. You have foods that you eat. You do things to create that strength in your physical body. And when we want to create things in our lives, we get to build the strength in the power of our mind. And how do we do that? All of you know how we do that. I know you do. I'm going to tell you this little story. Back in the day, a long time ago, my dad was a real estate broker, and so I had to get my license just to prove I could pass the test. I really wasn't much of a salesperson. But I went with him to the seminar, and the man told a story about how he listed houses, and he knocked on the front door of the house, and the lady came to the front door, and she slammed the door in his face. So he turned around and went around to the back door, and he knocked on the back door, and when she came to the door, he says, "Oh, I'm glad it's you, and it's not that grumpy lady that answered the front door." It's not that grumpy lady that answered the front door. See, what happens, what he said, is it takes 9 no's to make a yes. I never see failure as failure. I only see it as a learning experience. Some people discover their dream and their purpose in life by becoming still and listening, and some of us don't. Some of us never stop long enough to listen. There's a story in World War II about a pilot who got lost over the ocean, and he called in on his radio and he said, "I have no idea where I'm going, but I'm going there really fast." So we need to get alone with God and listen. Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God." To get a vision from God, what we need to do is to be still. Turn off the television. Get quiet. Listen. Let God speak to you. And when you're quiet, you can hear it. There's a Native American tribe in Oregon that sends the young men out and tells them they can't come back until they've had a vision. You can't come back until you have a vision. Well, some of them get discouraged and they come back early. But those who stayed until they have a vision become the leader of the tribe. Those who stayed, staying with our purpose, keeping our intention clear. Thomas Edison said that he might have 10,000 failures, but He never considered them as a failure. He considered them all as positive. He had successfully found 10,000 ways not to make a light bulb. He was successful. We need to remember that all of our accomplishments begin with a thought. All of our accomplishments begin with a thought, and the body is a servant to the mind. In Living the Science of Mind on page 18, it says, until the time of Jesus, it had been believed that God might help us, that there were concessions he would make if we pleased him or if we performed certain rites or rituals. Jesus changed these suppositions. He said simply and directly, there is a power that operates on your beliefs, the way you believe. Therefore, he added, be sure that you believe that you already have what you desire, and then the law of good will bring it to you. But even the law of good, which is all powerful, can only bring you as much good as you can accept. You can only get as much good as you can accept. That accepting is an act of faith. Many of us have that little monkey person in the back of their mind, like I have, that might say, oh, I don't deserve this, and we need to tell it, stop. Stop. I am an individualized expression of God. Every person in this room is an individualized expression of God and deserves all of the good that God has to offer. Jesus said to us, it was done unto you as you believe. And Jesus was a great teacher. There is a power and a presence that can and will. It will react to the way we think. Think good, high thoughts. The power acts as a law operating upon your beliefs, upon my beliefs. Believe what we desire, that we already have it, and accept it, and accept it. He told us to become quiet and to enter the closet of self. Didn't I just say this in a different way that someone else said? Become quiet and enter the closet of self and close the door to your senses when we make known our requests. And ask that ye may receive. And ask that ye may receive. The idea is so simple. And yet so many of us don't do it. It eludes us. It's too simple. It needs to be more complicated than that, we think. This is too simple. But it's not. The sum total of all of your thinking decides what's going to happen to you. The sum total. And remember that all of that is not conscious thought. Some of that is race consciousness. You know, I'm going to get the flu because it's flu season. Some of that is race consciousness. It is not all conscious thought. The sum total of our thinking decides what is going to happen to us. And so when we do affirmations, we can change our thinking. And as we say here over and over and over again, ad nauseum sometimes, change your thinking, change your life, don't we? And doesn't it? So what I want to ask you to do is that you understand how powerful and easy this really is. So let's come up with a few for your homework for this week. We're going to come up with a few affirming thoughts. I want you to affirm them, put them on sticky notes, hang them on the mirror, I don't care, but affirm them daily. I have faith, I have conviction, I have belief. I know there is a power and I can use it. My whole being accepts my good. My whole being, think about that. Feel that as you say that. There is a power in the universe and I can use it. And my whole being, all of me, accepts my good. And so it is. Let's pray. Sweet, sweet Spirit, Father, Mother, God, that holy, holy and divine presence in which we live and breathe and have our being, that presence which breathes us individually and collectively. God is light and love and peace and joy. And I am an individualized expression of the divine. And if that is true for me, that is true for each and every person in this room. God individualized in, through, and as them this day. So what I truly know for this day and for this week is God is good all the time. That life is good. That as we move through this week, the abundance of the divine showers down upon us as we are open and ready to receive it. The love of the divine embraces us. The strength of the divine supports us. I know that each and every conversation and interaction we have is God interacting with God, and it is good. It can be no other way. And I give thanks. I give thanks for that powerful strength of spirit. I give thanks for the wisdom of the divine. I give thanks for the love that is embodied in each and every person here. I give thanks for this day. I release this word to the perfect working of the perfect law, the law which always and only says yes, and so it is. Amen.